Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, St. Peter?
Yes.
Life just walked in.
Don't send him in. How's everything on earth?
I'm just, you know, letting you know, man, I'm tired of riding this A train, man. I want to see what's up with maybe getting me some wings or something.
Yeah. It's missions that have to be accomplished. You see, it's missions. You got to do them. Here's one. We're sending you some help. She's beautiful. She's an angel.
St. Peter, conference on line one with God and Jesus.
Hello? Yeah, hold on. Jesus said hi. God said, why are you still here and not on your mission? He's leaving right now. He's leaving Faithful Life.
Hey, yo, Fantasia, what you wanna know?
I don't know, life.
What if I broke a monogamous agreement? What if I told you I lied but didn't mean it? What if my one mistake had the potential to break up our happy home?
Would you wanna know?
What if I confessed it and though she didn't mean nothing since it happened, you're thinking about leaving?
What if I suppressed it
and made a vow to never mess with another? Is it cool for me to smother the facts? Is it cool for me to cover my tracks? If you never
know,
oh, would it not be an honor to hurt you more?
Thank you.
All right, that's what's up. Good evening, good a.m. I think it's about 12:05 in the a.m. Welcome to Divine Mothers Radio. You know, I was speaking earlier today to a few people. I've been speaking for the past couple of days, seeing like in regards to relationships and love. And I know that I've done a show before, kind of briefly touched on love, but there are so many chapters to it, you know what I'm saying? And what someone said to me was that I do so much assisting of other people in their relationships, but no one really knows my story. And, you know, always for me, I always felt like, you know, nobody really cares about what it is that, you know, I go through, you know what I'm saying, and except as it applies to themselves. But being that, you know, they're being persistent about it, I said, well, let me just go ahead and you know, I'll do a show on it, and then they can go back and listen to it. How about that? And that way it'll make it easier for me. That way I don't have to worry about the interruptions, you know, with the questions and all of those things. And then I'll share my viewpoint. The way that I look at love, as I've said before, is a little bit different from the way that most other people do. Most tend to think that love is something that you can hold on to. It's something like a possession, like a pair of shoes or your favorite car or that nice house or something like that. But what I have grown to know for me, and again, this whole thing is my version, the way that I see it, is love is meant to be experienced. It's not something you can capture. You know, it's something that has existed prior to us coming into this realm, and it is the only thing that will go with you when you leave this realm. So I don't think that a lot of the things that we have been taught actually coincide with what it is that we do and we experience and we feel by nature. I think that society has interfered with the natural order of things. And what I mean by that, by natural, is if you meet someone on the street and, you know, you and that person share in a conversation or a joke or a laugh or whatever it is, for that moment, that vibration of love is what is radiating to you and to anyone that passes by you. They can see it. They can feel it. You know, they can hear it. You know, and a lot of people in a lot of situations are not able, they feel, to open up in that type of scenario. And what I mean by that is they have mates. And it's not all the women. You know, there's some men, too, that feel as though they are hindered from connecting to another person and sharing love, you know. And for me, I just think that a lot of humans are really missing out on the whole experience of love. And they're missing out on it because they have already been indoctrinated as to what love is or, you know, what love means or what love's guidelines are. And that's not fair because love's guidelines will naturally change from person to person. So for me, my relationships, this is one of the things we kind of laughed about. I had a favorite little story that I was telling them about the little big-eyed boyfriend I had in the second grade. Here I am, a straight-A student, you know, and I was just so fond of him, and his name was Joseph Hilliard, you know. But he was so cool to me. He was just really, really nice, and he was really, really quiet, and I just really liked that about him. It's like he was groomed already to know what should be done and what shouldn't be done, you know. So I learned how to have a friendship, you know, with a little boy in the second grade. And it was friendship, and it was so cool that, you know, he and I stayed communicating throughout the years, you know. And I think that it's so awesome that he can go on and have his life, and I can go on and have my life, and we can still have that memory of that space when we were both so young, you know, and so not knowing what everything in this world had, you know, to hold. However, having been allowed that experience, that's something that we too do share. So we too can always go about our day, you know, about our life and go back to that point. And for me, that part of love counts as well. Being able to go back in your timeline and have references of points where you can actually see what love looks like. Because we're living in a situation where there are so many chaotic scenarios going on that no one really has the time to focus on it. No one has the time to feel better. Everybody knows they want to feel better, but they just, you know, it's too much other stuff going on. So when I look at my life, I think that I am grateful because I have points of reference that started, you know, way back then. And in elementary school, you know, it was more so about the friendship. I had a lot of friends that were boys because I had a dad that was crazy. Nobody would even overstep boundaries. You know, everybody in the neighborhood knew my dad. Everybody in the neighborhood knew that this one is not the one to play with. So I didn't really have to worry about, like, being disrespected or any of that stuff. That stuff really came, you know, a little later. You know what I mean? I had another friend of mine that called himself liking me, and this was around second grade, too, you know, and I ran into him years later because we had an altercation over an apple, and we stood outside and we laughed about it, and he looked at me and he said, you know, my tooth is still chipped today because of you, and then he laughed. And I was able to see that he had points of reference in his life where he could go back to that moment and how many times he had to tell that story of how he took my apple, we wound up fighting, his tooth got chipped, you know, and he carries it, but not in a heavy-hearted way. He carried it in such a way that when we gave each other hugs, it was like, you know, that's what's up. Because I thought about him over the years, and I felt bad about it. Over the years, like, dog, I was real mean. You know, I was really, really mean to him. But I didn't know. You know, it was just one of those things. But seeing him as an adult, you know, I understood that it was necessary. It was necessary for him as well as for me to be able to go back on that. You don't think about it then, of course, but being able to go back now, you know, shows the value in it. Around high school, you know, middle school was like when a lot of my altercations with boys started, because boys like to, you know, put their hands on you and do disrespectful stuff, and I was not the one that was with that. I didn't like that. Don't put your hands on me, and I'm still that way today. Please don't touch me inappropriately, you know, because it's going to go down right down the scene, and that's just how it was in middle school. So, like I say, middle school, I started fighting, you know, about the disrespect. So I didn't have, like, a lot of relationships in, like, school or any of that other than friendships, you know what I mean, in middle school. Around 15, 16, I got into a relationship that became kind of serious. I mean, I dated someone at 14, and, you know, I was in love with him or so I thought, but you're 14, you don't know. I'm still friends with him today, too, and his name is D'Adrian. And, you know, it was fascinating, like I say, for me. I'm friends with all of my exes. And that's another thing that I noticed that's different for me than between other people, you know what I'm saying, and their exes. I have no hatred in my heart towards any of the experiences that I've had in any of my relationships. And I can go to these people right now today and we can laugh and we can talk about how things were then and about how, you know, crazy and chaotic things are now. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. And I think for me that helps me to see the bigger picture about love. And after the 14-year-old phase with him, I ran into someone that I fell in love with, and this one I was going to marry. And his name was Lorenzo Raston Jr. And this young man showed me everything that I loved about love. You know, he was likened unto my dad insofar as, you know, everybody that knows me knew that I grew up getting everything that I wanted. It just was the way that it was from my mother and my father. So, you know, I was accustomed to having everything. I just wasn't accustomed to having someone in my life in a relationship that did not mind giving me everything. And I don't know, it was like I wasn't materialistic by way of what he gave, because I was a money maker. You know, I started making money at 13, like ridiculous, stupid money. So that wasn't it, but it was just a value for me in the fact that somebody cared enough to take this time out of their day, out of their life, out of their, you know, their schedule to put aside, you know, time to do something special for me. And I love that about him. And that's what made me love him more. And, you know, I was going to marry this guy. And if we talked about children, you know, around the age of 18, 19, I'm getting ready to get out of high school. We talked about it, and it just wasn't something that I was ready to do. I wanted to get married first, and I wanted to go to college first. I wanted to, you know, go check on my family and see how everybody was doing down there and connect with my grandmother and all these things. And, you know, that's how I found out that the long-distance relationship didn't work. You know what I'm saying? Long distance was not the way. You know, because of the fact that there were other influences. And being with this one that I really did love, you know, I learned the pain of deception, of thinking that you have friends when you have a relationship, of thinking that you can trust someone, you know, when you have a relationship. And the truth of the matter is, it's none of that. It's none of that. If you're in a relationship, you're in a relationship. And that's what it is. That's where the trust has to start. And again, this is just my viewpoint on it. This is, you know what I'm saying, how I see it. And I never attached myself to the pain of the past, other than giving it the span of time needed for the healing. Once I healed from it, I always took the role of the bigger person that makes them even look at me today like, how can you do it? You know, and they know what they've done, and we can talk about it. And they wonder, how can you still be friends with me knowing, you know what I'm saying, with me doing these things? And I say, it's already done. You know, love is not something that has other attachments. And if I ever loved you, then I still love you. If I can say that I loved you and then say that I don't love you, then I never really loved you. And again, this is just, you know, my rendition of it. So, you know, in that regard, where there was deception amongst one that I thought was my friend, who was actually, you know, his cousin, you know, and his cousin, who, you know, was deceitful, you know, introduced him to someone that wound up, and I blame her. I blame her to this day. And you know, not to dwell on it because I'm done with it. I said I was done with it the last time I dealt with it. But, you know, he's no longer here on this planet because of this being that he was introduced to while I was away in college. And we were due to get married that August. It was February when I found out on Valentine's Day about the deception. So in that regard, with the pain of finding out that this man was introduced to someone else by a supposed to be friend of mine, cousin of his, and now they are expecting a child, that's something that I couldn't get over. That's not something that I knew how to just move past, you know, because everything that we had worked on and talked about with both our parents, because our parents were involved, you know, in the whole scenario. It wasn't just a scenario where I meet him, I like him, we're about to go down, you know, and just make a real quick decision at the justice of peace. That's not what this was. This was 6 hours of talking in the room with his dad. You know, we're arguing because he wants to see why, you know what I'm saying, the ring I want has to be the ring I have. And, you know, with 6 hours, I just can't get over that. You know, and the conversations back and forth with my mom for hours, you know, and the planning and the picking out of the dress and the cake and the champagne fountains and the cars and everything, you know, that we had gone through and all the trials and the tribulations and the cheating, because he cheated in the past, and getting all beyond that. And, you know, this hump I couldn't get over. So, you know, I separated myself once I actually, because he would come back, he would apologize, he knew it messed up, you know what I'm saying? He too fought at his cousin, but he has to take responsibility too, because he had a hand in it, you know what I'm saying, as well. But once I looked at that child and knew that child was his, there was nothing else that I could do. So I learned then to kind of guard my heart. You know, love, like I say, for me has been a process. It's not just something that you just wake up one day and you know how to do. But everybody's formula is going to be different. So for me, you know, I learned to guard my heart. But I didn't become bitter because of it. You know, I didn't like him and I didn't like her. And to this day, I still don't deal with her. You know what I'm saying? She's just one that is now on that side of those that I don't deal with. You know what I mean? But in so far as my life with him, I couldn't forgive him. And that, you know, he left here. He left the planet, and I still had not forgiven him, you know. And I was at the funeral, and I still didn't forgive her, you know. And she tried to make a connection with me then, and I tossed that shit right out the window as soon as I made that right-hand turn, you know what I mean? And I just wasn't interested in it. But I learned that it doesn't matter how much you love somebody or how hard or how deep or whatever, that bad stuff can still happen to good people. You know, but I let bygones be bygones. You know what I'm saying? I left the whole thing alone. And since then, I've met some people. Like, you know, even back, and I'm skipping around, but another person that I have to talk about that was a large influence on my life was a dude that I dated named Hollywood. You know, and this dude here is amazing. It was so amazing, just like, not just the chemistry, but the fact that his mental perception and ability, the connection we had there allowed us to be able to do things. You know, I learned a lot about the game from him. I learned how dudes play games on women through him and his whole crew. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, but he and I play games together. Like, one of my favorite stories, and this is one of the ones that I didn't go into detail about, but let me go into detail about it now since they want to know. Okay, MC Hollywood, we're at the club. We're at, I think it was Club Silver Fox. And they have this thing called the 112 Posse where they have all the women, you know, everybody's on. There's different members in the 112, right? So they're going to put this function on. And the function that they're doing is for Valentine's Day. They're going to raffle themselves off. I can't remember whose idea it was. But each one, it was like maybe seven brothers in this group, and that they were going to raffle themselves off. So whichever woman paid the most money for the raffle tickets would win the date with them on Valentine's night. They would go, you know what I'm saying, they had a date or whatever the whole day or however that shit was supposed to go. And the good thing in it is, Hollywood was known and liked by a whole lot of women in the club. You know what I'm saying? Everybody liked Hollywood. But I was always so cool with my stuff that it just really don't matter as long as, you know, there's no disrespect because I know how the game goes. But when this particular event went on, you know, you had women spending $300, $400, $500, you know what I'm saying, to raffle and hope to earn their opportunity to go on a date with Hollywood for Valentine's Day. You know, and truth be told, that's my dude. You know what I'm saying? That's my dude. Y'all don't know that that's my dude because y'all just think that I'm just one of the homegirls that come by and kick it and get in rides and shit. But that was my nigga. So I appreciate the donation of the money that all those sisters gave. You know what I'm saying? Because me and him went out on Valentine's Day. And I just thought that it was so cool. And truth be told, I learned a lot. You know, we did a lot of that. You know, and I learned from him, like, damn, these dudes are really ruthless in what they will do to women. You know what I'm saying? And I was just glad that the things that I learned on that side of it. You know what I'm saying? But I respected him for that. I respected him because I was able to go back throughout my life and look at that situation, you know, in certain parts of that part in my life, I applied that to my life. Like, yo, I don't have to deal with anybody's crap. I don't have to deal with anybody's garbage. I don't have to deal with, you know, anybody who has an issue with me at all, you know, because I know firsthand on how to manifest things. I know firsthand on how, you know, a lot of people are viewing what they call love. It's not even love at all. You know what I'm saying? Love is when you can come together with somebody like that and create a scenario and it works. And y'all benefit from it, regardless of what the scenario is. And I respect that. You know what I'm saying? And I was crazy about him, too. Crazy about this dude. You know, and then when the separation came after him, it was just so much other stuff, by, you know what I'm saying, that came after that and back to back to back to back that the time, you know what I'm saying, had lapsed. But even when I saw him, even when I see him, we still connect. We still talk. You know, I just purposely keep my distance, and I'm not doing it because of anything that he is going to do. I'm doing it because I know what I might do if I go around him. So because of that, I just speak, I see him, I hug, and I keep going. I don't put myself in the same, like, room with him, and that's the truth. I won't do it because I have memories, you know what I'm saying? And but that's that. But nonetheless, there's still love there. There's no disrespect there. There's still love there. And, you know, I've had a couple of relationships, you know, that were friends, but they love me as though there's more. You know what I'm saying? Like my most recent relationship, you know, with a brother named Mihan. I was so in love with this dude, and I still love this guy, and I don't know what it is about it. And this is the one I think that they really wanted me to talk about, because everybody around me cannot figure out how it is that this guy is still able to, you know, put that smile on my face. You know, how is it possible that I can feel this way about this one? You know, and when I try to explain it to people, I can't explain it to them. I can't even describe it to them, let alone explain it. The thing is that they know, though, that is that it is real. You know, like I say, there are many levels to love. You know what I'm saying? And this one, I think what it was when I first met him, I had gone through so much. At that time, my second test of Job, I had disconnected from everybody around me. I didn't want to have anything to do with anybody. And I was so far gone in my head when, you know what I'm saying, when I met him, I saw myself sitting at a table. I know I was at my homeboy Zion's house. I saw myself sitting at a table. Here's the story, right? And in my head, again, I'm sitting at a table and everybody is behind me. But what he says to me is that I wasn't sitting at a table. I was sitting on a chair and people were sitting beside me. But that just goes to show you how far I was removed from everything that was going on. And when he came in and sat down, it felt like his whole energy, like he had a huge aura around him, and that whole energy just sat down on me. And I could feel it, and it had me tripping. I was like, yo, how is it that I'm able to, you know what I'm saying, feel your energy like that? And I could hear things. I heard conversations, heard voices, heard things. And it was so many beings, voices that I heard all at the same time. I said to him, that's too much. You know, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with hearing all of that? And he said, he had this look on his face, like he was so surprised that I too could hear what he heard. And he said, you think that you're telling me something? He said, you don't think I know that? And I said, he said, how is your chaos? And for whatever reason, those words registered in my DNA. And I'm inside myself tripping, like, why am I responding to this dude? Because I, you know, purposely had, like I said, disconnected from everybody. And, you know, I looked at him and I said, what manner of being are you? Who is it, you know what I'm saying, that sent you? Because you can't be anyone, like, in the norm, because what you're doing, you know, I'm able to feel, and I'm able to feel it after I purposely disconnected from everybody. And, you know, it got to be so much that the conversation we were having was interrupted because there were beings that were talking, and I said to him, you need to tell them, you need to get rid of them, get them out of your ears. And he was like, you don't think I've tried? He said, I can't get them out of my ear. And I walked them outside. And I could hear, you know, each one. that's saying something. And when I would hear the voice, I'd say, that one is not telling the truth. Tell them to get the hell on. And I was helping him as each voice that was heard came up. You know, and it was so amazing, the fact that I did hear it, which meant that if people are telling him that he's hearing things that he's not hearing, those people are not aware, because I heard it too. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to hear anything until he came in. You know, so because of the fact that I was able right there on the spot to help silence those voices, there was immediate connection made. You know, because it, obviously this had been a situation that, you know, he had been dealing with for some time. And I can only imagine what it's like attempting to tell somebody that, yo, you know, this is what I hear. And, of course, there's a category for stuff like that. But if it was just him and it wasn't real, then how was I able to hear it? Everything that these voices were saying, I could hear it just like he heard it. So that was real. So it's that connection. You know, as well as, like I say, I had been slammed around so much and so many daggers to the heart in life that he had to have been so far out and disconnected, too, in order to even be able to reach me. And I'm just one that gives honor to that. You know, I appreciate that because I know where I was in life. I know where I was. Other people didn't know. I said, already, I'm about to start pimping the shit out of everybody. I had started, I was going to start my own business company logo, Pimps Are Us, and pimp the shit out of everybody. However, you know what I'm saying, because of the fact that there is now someone that is, for whatever reason, able to comprehend what it is that I'm dealing with, it kind of, you know, settled my energy down and made me be able to just look at what was going on in my life and look at the fact that it's just a test and look at, instead of just exploding, you know, and I don't know, the love that I feel when I look at this being or when I, you know what I'm saying, hear about this being, it's something that reaches beyond the realm of this planet. I can't even explain it. And even when they ask, because I don't, you know, equate love to materialistic things, what you have, what you drive, you know, I don't do that. You know, my thing is a little bit deeper. I'm looking into the soul of a being. When you come to me, I see you already when you come to me. So, you know what I'm saying? Everybody is not the same. And that's, you know, he served as a marker that shows that everything that I asked to experience by way of love on a level that I asked for, which was something that's not tangible by other beings because it's not physical. It's not about buying me this and buying me that or taking me here and taking me there or doing this and doing that. It was about some other stuff. I really want to be able to feel you. You know what I mean? I want to be able to, it was a whole different thing that I was looking for. And the only one that would be able to understand it is the Most High himself. So when this being was sent to me, and that's what it was, I saw him standing across the street dressed all in white, and it was straight hell breaking out in my life. You know, it was straight chaos. My children's father is the devil. You know, I was running over his shit with my car. And I just happened to, in the midst of that chaos, see him standing across the street in white, all white. And you know how your life just pauses for a second, and then you go back to the chaos? That's what it was for me. So I knew, you know, to pay attention. And I don't know. To this day, we'll separate and come back and separate and come back. And even though we have reached a space in our existence where there is no separate and coming back in that way, I still love him and I'm still connected to him, you know, and we still talk. You know, we still see each other. It's just on a whole another level now. And, you know, he's not the only one. I had an ex before him, and that is 5 years. I had an ex before him that, you know, he keeps apologizing every time he talks to me, and I've said to him, you know, I've known you since 2012. You don't have to do that. You don't have to keep apologizing, but it's because he was not able to, you know what I'm saying, receive me for who I was at the time. Now he sees that I am just who I was then, and it's a little too late. However, we can still be cool. And he respects it because I'm that constant in his life. And I think that, you know, for Mihan, it's the same way. And, you know, when Mihan came into my life, and this is the other part that they wanted me, because we were talking about whether or not you can love more than one person at a time. And the truth is, my answer for me is yes, you can. There's just different types of love, though. You know what I mean? There's different types. It's not the same. Like the CEO of Bam Bam Entertainment Incorporated, you know, was named, his name is Keith. And this guy was sent, again, I said my second test in Joe. He was sent and picked my whole life up. And he, too, was sent because no, I'm not the type that ever asks for assistance. I'm always the one that helps everybody. Everybody knows they need shit, they call me, right? When I need shit, I'm not calling anybody. And everybody that knows me knows that. That's just how it is. However, this being was sent, and he was sent just as I said to the Most High, you know what, I do everything you ask me to do. I'm not seeing any proof of you. I'm not doing any more readings. I'm not doing anything else. I give up on all of this shit. Then, boof, here he comes and picks my whole life up. So because of the fact that we did a lot of business together, you know what I'm saying, we laughed together. He was so much like me. You know, it was just so much fun, man. I had fun every day at work. And work, you know, I drove and I shopped and I did meetings. And that was like the best job ever. Drive, shop, do meetings, and I have a chocolate martini maybe at least 4 or 5 times a week. You know, on my lunch break, I liked that. And I was so happy, though. You know, and I understood that there was going to be trials to come because I was so happy. But the thing is that the one Mihan could not understand that there's a difference in it. He couldn't understand that I can love Keith, but not love in the same way that I love you. And not only that, but Keith couldn't understand it either because he was the one that picked my whole life up. He expected that I would have the love for him that I had for Mihan. But what he couldn't comprehend was Mihan was there first. And when I talked to him about it, because we did a lot of traveling, and when I say to you, and I can say it to y'all, because I don't have anything to hide, you know, me and this guy were just friends. There was no type of intimacy. There was none of that stuff happening, you know, and we would go out of town and be gone overnight, you know what I'm saying, and there was nothing. It was not even like that, you know what I'm saying? And truth be told, he might have somebody meet him in certain locations that we go to. But, you know, that's just how he did things, you know what I'm saying? But he wanted to have the position that Mihan had. And in my heart, though, it was not that way. In my heart, I could not lie to myself, you know, and I said it to him. He was here. He was here before you. He was here to hear all of this stuff that I went through. He was here to help me at a time where I couldn't help myself. So for that, you know what I mean, I think I'm supposed to still have some type of honor. And I can't just leave him and come with you because of the money and everything else and so many people around. And this is one of the things that they were saying. It's like, you know, you crazy. That dude had all the money. You should have dropped everything and left with him. And I said, wow. I looked at these people sideways. Like, you would really leave someone and go into an existence to where your heart is not real just based on money. So that's deception off rip, which is fine. I know that, you know, white people, black people do it all the time, but it's just not me. You know, that's just not me. So I can't live a lie. And that's the thing, you know, anything that happens to me happens because of truth here. You know, but I love both of those men. And we three had a conversation in the same hotel room about it, where they both expressed that they both prayed for me. They both said that they prayed for me. And I said, well, since you both prayed for me, that means that there's work to be done. We overstand the parameters. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to let any harm come to Keith. I know everything about this man. I know his mom. I know his family. You know what I'm saying? I know everything about him. It's a requirement that I know. And I had to look at the fact that I know more about him than I knew about Mihan. The truth of the matter is, though, that Mihan, he holds my heart. That position was already, you know what I'm saying, occupied. And what wound up happening in that situation, which was kind of the breaking point that showed me that, you know, it's not for me to be in a relationship like that, is that, you know, I wound up letting both of them go their separate ways because I was given an ultimatum. I was given an ultimatum by Keith that either I leave behind or, you know what I'm saying, he would remove himself and everything that he brought from my life. And, you know, most people would have, you know what I'm saying, done it just to keep from having those things removed, but I'm just the type of being that said in my head immediately, who the fuck are you? Who are you to tell me what to do with my heart? Like, who the fuck are you? You and your money. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how I felt. It felt like I thought that he loved me more than that. Let me just say it that way. I thought that he loved me in a way that we had already understood that things are the way that they are. You do things in your life the way you do it. I do things in my life the way I do it. And we still have that which we do together. You know what I'm saying? And I thought that he really, really overstepped boundaries, and I felt disrespected and all kinds of shit. So I let him go. And everything that I touch when I'm gone, you know what I'm saying, it tends to dwindle because I'm the life, you know. So without the life, you have nothing. And that's just how it was. And then all those vultures who was around him, that was around him for his money, had the opportunity to come in and make their moves and devour him, and all kind of crazy chaos happened. And I understood that that was the plan in it too, because I was brought in his life to keep those types of beings away from him. But because, you know, people want to control love, which, you know, kind of brings it back to what I'm saying, that situation rendered him, you know what I'm saying, a victim of people who had no love for him at all. You know, he pushed the one away that actually loved him. You know, regardless of what the situation was, it was unconditional with me, and I think that that's the difference. You know, I deal with unconditional love. You are who you are when you get to me. You don't have to pretend because I see you anyway. You know, I hear your thoughts, regardless of what you're saying out of your mouth. You know, everything that comes with you when you come to me. So if I'm going to talk to you, deal with you, experience, you know what I'm saying, anything at all with you, it's because I'm choosing to do so. It's not because of anything that you can buy me. I can't be bought. You know what I'm saying? I can't be bought. And that's the thing that people, you know what I'm saying, seem to have the most difficulty with. I can't. And I said that to him as well. You can't buy me. You know, if it's going to happen, if it's something that's meant to be, it's going to develop on its own. You can't buy me. You know, I don't care anything about that shit. I care more about the soul of a person, not the manipulation that people do with money. You know what I'm saying? To hell with that. You know, but that was the thing. And then, you know, wound up being after I decided to not decide, both of them went their separate ways. And I thought that that was interesting. Like, you know, you have one that wants to be able to do all the things that the other one is doing for me, and he can't do it. However, he occupies the seat that the other one wants to occupy, and he can't occupy it. But they both had an issue with each other, not comprehending and not looking at the fact of how much better each one of their lives was with me in it. Not one time did any of those, either of those selfish individuals, sit down and look at their life before me and their life with me. Had they taken at least 5 minutes to get started on the thought processes of that, it would have prevented, you know what I'm saying, the demise that came in, the deterioration of the relationship that now makes it be that they can't have me in the space that they had me. You know what I mean? And then that's just my take again on that shit. I loved both of them, and I told both of them, I love both of you. I just love y'all different. What's up with y'all? Stop tripping. You know what I'm saying? I had fun all day during the day. When I come home, my dude is at the house. What the hell? I was elated. All kinds of shit. Businesses popping off every damn where. You know what I'm saying? Everybody around me happy. You know what I'm saying? People coming and they receiving all day long. Like I said, I had 21 visitors come around that time, and one day I was counting the people that come to my house. You know, everything was flourishing then. in not just my life, but in their lives. I was making their lives better. And we had already established the boundaries that we all three adults agreed on. So where is the issue at? And that's what the problem was, you know, because Mihan wants me in that same cycle that everybody else is in. You know, I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to do that or supposed to be that way. And what I said to him was, just because you were raised that way doesn't make it right, doesn't make it the only way that things can be done. You know, so I'm friends with all of my exes. It's a few of y'all. I got a lot of guy friends. I have female friends too. But I like my dude friends because I don't have to worry about the envy. And I mean, some of y'all, a couple of y'all be acting like bitches and shit. But I don't really have to worry about, you know, the gossipy stuff. We can get down to the meat of stuff. We can build about things. We can talk, you know. And the brothers need love too. And they need to be able to have a connection with a sister that's actually a sister, not a sister that they doing other shit with. You know what I'm saying? I like having my guy friends, and I like meeting their wives and being cool with their wives. I'm cool with their wives, too, because that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? Because they need it, too. They need a connection with me, because I'm not going to try to go behind her back, your back, nobody back, and do any of that. You know what I'm saying? So we can talk about everything, and I'm not going to pull them out of their relationship. I'm not going to do any of that. You know what I'm saying? And I do advisement for married couples as well. You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason, they keep coming to me. You know, but the thing is, I look at it differently. Once people get out of the reins and the chains that life and society has put on us, as far as now, I'm not talking about that homosexual shit. Let me put that on record. I do not agree. I'm not saying to y'all love, overrule, override, overrun, over all that old shit, overrated is what it is. I don't agree with that. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say love, I'm talking about between a man and a woman. That's all. The rest of that shit, y'all can have that shit. That shit ain't real to me. But you know what I'm saying? I just think that we would be better off if we were allowed to comprehend, you know what I'm saying, a little more about the big picture. And my life is awesome, you know, when it comes to the people, because everybody loves me. And it's awesome. The interesting shit that I deal with, though, for real, is that when somebody wants to come close to me, they'll get close thinking that they can handle it. But then when they'll see that everybody wants to be close to me, they have an issue with that. They want to set me aside and make it be that no one can be close to me but them. And that's not how that is for me. That's the difference between me and everybody else. Everybody else can have that one-on-one with the house, picket fence, car, and shit, and that's all the hell y'all doing. But the rest, you know what I'm saying, of the work, I guess, is up for me to do through divine love. And that would be the difference. You know what I'm saying? That would be the difference. And I don't have any bad, you know what I'm saying, memories or relationships really to discuss. Even though you heard me say that my children's father's the devil, I mean that. I think that he was created, he was born just to trip me up. That he is that devil that'll bite you on your ankle. I really do feel that. You know what I'm saying? And yo, he still will try to test me to this day. It's cool though, I still talk to him. You know, he still has free reign to the children. I don't do what other people do. You know what I mean? Because like I say, love has many different levels. I don't have to like you at all. You don't even have to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? But I can love you enough that, you know, when you pull up and you ask for your babies, they can go with you. I'm not heartless. I do things differently. Whereas some people have removed the children from the father's lives altogether. But when my children want their dad, they want their dad. Because I remember me when I wanted my dad, when my mom finally left when I was 14. When I wanted my dad, I wanted my dad. And I wouldn't have been able to comprehend, no, what you mean? No, I can't go. What? I'm not the type of child that comprehends no. You know, I'm not the type of being now. I still don't get that no shit. It doesn't apply to me. You know what I'm saying? So for it to happen so rampantly around me, I think that, you know, everybody would benefit more in this time that we're going through if they would just relax the reins a little bit, just because you've been told that. If love is making you not be able to walk to the store if you feel like you need to get out of the house because there's going to be a headache or argument when you get back. That's not love. You know what I'm saying? That's more like abuse because that's controlling it. And I went through all that shit with my children's father. Anger management didn't work for me either, by the way. That shit didn't work. Ended that class real quick on their ass. It was supposed to have been 2 hours. We were out of there in about 35 minutes. And I made sure she gave my goddamn paper that said I was there. But, you know what I'm saying? It's, you cannot do that. You cannot control somebody. Let people be who they are. If you have your hand stifling someone and you're going to make them be who you want them to be, then that shit still ain't real. It's not real. You're not living a real existence, and that person is not living a real existence. They're not being allowed to be real because of something that you're forcing on them. And that's the issue that I think that a lot of people have on the planet, and that's why I say that I'm different. Because anybody that's in my life has to comprehend that you can't put the grip pliers on me. I mean, you can try, but screws and bolts and nuts and shit going to start popping around this love because I can't do that. I love to love. And love has nothing to do with a carnal connection. It has nothing at all to do with that. I love walking outside and see my elders who can see, and they speak and I speak and we talk, and there's wisdom shared in that moment. And I don't need somebody walking beside me who has an issue with that. I don't need somebody in my life that I'm going to have this conversation with when I get home. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that. I need someone in my existence just to sum it all up, because this is why they ask me why I choose to be by myself. It's just a choice. You know what I'm saying? I choose to be by myself because of these things. I don't want the headache. I don't want it. Doesn't mean a child can't take headache if that's what y'all want to do. You know what I'm saying? And not that every relationship is a headache. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, you know what I'm saying, in the relationships, the few that I have had, you know what I'm saying, they have allowed me to be where I am right now, still able to have an open heart to new experiences, to new possibilities, to new connections and new love without the bitterness, without the anger, without any of that. And in order for me to be that way, I have to not have it towards them. And this is what I'm saying to these sisters and these brothers. How do you expect that you can go into another relationship with somebody else when you are angry with the person that you just got out of a relationship with still now, and it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 17 years later? What the hell you got going on? What is in you that will make you hold on to one instance in your life that would make you, you know what I'm saying, carry that same energy years later with you? What is it with this person that you do not own? You did not give birth to them. Even if you did, it shouldn't even be like that. What is it inside of male and female that makes you feel that you should have control over another person and what they do? See, I look at things differently, like I said, from other people. I don't even view it the way y'all do. People are who they are. When you come to me, if you're a thief, you're a thief. You just fucking steal. I just don't like that shit. But don't lie about it. Don't just, you know what I'm saying, not steal around me and then say that, you know what I'm saying, you're not a thief. You are a fucking thief. You know what I'm saying? You are who you are. It's fucking crazy. You're crazy. You know, I can accept you as crazy. You know what I'm saying? If you like a drink, you like a drink. You're fucking alcoholic. You're a wino. You hang out in front of the goddamn liquor store all day, all night. That's what the fuck you do. But don't have anything at all to say to me about anything that I do, because I accept everybody for who they are. So the issue that I found, and this is in response to the question that was asked, the issue that I found in my walk on this journey called life is that it will be okay for everybody in my life as long as I accept them as they are. But it's not equally okay in my life for them to accept me as I am. And when I say to them, the way that you feel about something that I'm doing is just the way that you feel about something that I'm doing. It has absolutely nothing to do with me or with a decision that I'm going to make. You know what I'm saying? Then there's an issue behind it. You know, I have a problem with people because people can't control me. People can't enforce their will on me. And that's what the issue is for them, with me. Not that I've ever done anything to anyone. You know what I mean? Not that I'm the doer in it. It's just that what I don't allow them to do, which is to break me down. I won't allow that. I won't allow you to come into my realm and tell me that I can't do something. I don't comprehend that. I don't comprehend can't, and I don't comprehend no. So if that's the type of situation that exists, it doesn't last long around me. And it's simply because I, too, am here to have my spiritual experience. I, too, am here to learn and to ascend just like everybody else is. I get to choose the way I want to walk in my life just like everybody else is doing. People choose to go get jobs and work each day. That's what they choose to do. I choose to be self-employed and work when I feel like it. That's what I choose to do. I shouldn't have to argue about my choices, though. You might like chocolate ice cream, you know, and I might like strawberry. We can both go to the ice cream parlor and have two separate things. I shouldn't have to argue about it, though. You know, and I'm beyond that. I'm not arguing with anybody about anything that I'm doing in my life ever, because I don't have to. And I don't have to in order to be with anybody except any of their quote-unquote rules and shit, because my genetic makeup makes it be that all rules are broken when you come to me with it. You know what I'm saying? Give me the same respect, and that's the thing. I require and I demand respect from everybody in my life. You will respect me. You ain't got to like the way I do shit, but you will respect it. And if I can accept you lighting up your cigarette, you can accept me lighting up mine. Or if you stop smoking tomorrow, don't get mad at me because my mama didn't raise no damn quitter. I ain't fucking quitting. I ain't no quitter. Don't get mad at me, and because you don't went to church and you got saved and Jesus then came into your life and, you know what I'm saying, put the cross on your back now, don't get mad at me because I'm still doing what I'm doing. That's all I'm saying. And that's the issue that I have, you know what I'm saying, with people. I don't think people are ready yet to be on that level, at least the people that have been around in my realm through those tests that I'm speaking about, which were relationships. Those people were not ready. So, you know what I'm saying? Again, you know, I look at love differently. And I know people that have not open relationships, like, you know, they involve other people, but open relationships, like, they can really talk about what's going on. They can talk about situations, and they create their own rules in their relationship. And how do they create their own rules? Let's just say you out of the movies one day, and, you know what I'm saying, you're the one you with, you know, crunches on the popcorn real loud, and you don't like that, you know what I'm saying? So you talk on the way home, you say, you know, I was really trying to listen to the movie, but the way that you crunch on that popcorn, you know, just kind of really bothered me, you know. So at that moment, she can decide or he can decide whether to or not to crunch loud on popcorn. So depending on what the response is will determine what the outcome is at that point. If you say, okay, well, you know, you're right, I'll consider you, and you agree to do it, then that's fine. So now that rule is set. We agree. We don't crunch on popcorn loud in the movie. Or maybe she say, you know, you need to crunch loud too. So both of y'all ask crunching loud on popcorn in the movie. You know what I mean? But either way, you create your own shit. And that's the thing. I don't want anybody coming into my face telling me some shit that their mom and daddy did or the way that they did it, because I had a mom and daddy too. And I'm living my life according to the way my mom and my daddy did it for me. I had everything I wanted. My house was always a house to be. Just like today, my house is still the house to be. Everybody wants to be at my house. Why? I don't know. I don't know, but it's always been that way. And I always get what I want. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I just think that other people have an issue with me looking at my life like that, like I get what I want. But when you chose to get your job down the street or when you chose to kick cans for a living, you get what you want. Everybody else is choosing to have what they want. If, even in choosing not to choose, that's still your fucking choice. So everybody else gets to choose what they want except me. I don't think I'm going to live like that. That just don't suit me at all. So therefore, I choose, you know, love. And the love that I choose is divine love. And it allows me to connect with, you know, everybody. And that's what I like, connecting with everybody without the restraint. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I do have that, you know what I'm saying, that inclination in my thoughts from time to time. And it's like, wow, I wonder what type of being would it be that would be able to, you know what I'm saying, accept me. What type of being that would be able to accept me? Me just being me. Not judging me based on your insecurities. Not judging me based on the stuff that you're doing, thinking that I'm doing. Because and all of my exes, like I say, still cool with me. And they can all tell you, it was not me. It was all they had. They all fucked up. So, you know what I mean? I wonder what type of person it would be that would be for me. And until that miraculous event happens in life, you know what I'm saying, I'm good on that. I'm good on it. But, all right, I think I'm going to switch the show from 11 o'clock to 9 o'clock. It's a little bit late. My life is jumping. Like, right now, this is my ride. I got to go see a man about a horse at 1 a.m. I no longer sleep. I take naps from time to time. You know, I get in a full day and a full shadow. It's always daylight before I close my eyes. I close my eyes about 3 hours at about 7:30 in the a.m., and then I, you know, do it all over again to the same time. So I'm going to join y'all tomorrow. We're going to pick a topic, and I'm going to do the, you know, broadcast blast out there so y'all can come on in on these topics, because there's a lot of y'all want to talk about a lot of stuff. But anyway, that's my rendition on love, and I still kept it short and sweet. But, again, I deal with divine love. Divine love is not carnal. It has nothing to do with this other stuff that everybody is doing, this physical connection and bumping and grinding, all that garbage. I don't deal with it like that. And that's just my rendition. That's my story. And there, you have it. All right. Peace out, everybody. Got to go ride right here. See y'all soon.
But I don't want to go among bad people.
Oh, you can't help that. Most everyone's bad here. You may notice that I'm not all bad myself.
I'm mad.
I'm very polite, but when y'all get to thinking I'm scary, it's like I'm not nearly as nice. And I ain't lying today when I tell you that I love myself. Wanna hug myself. Who's around when the push comes to shove myself? I felt so much pain on this planet. Sometimes I feel like they can't understand it, but I'm just a drop in the ocean. I'm just a grain on the granite. If anybody asks, I'm never. Patience, cause sleep is for sheep, this is my awakening.
I'd like to know, he went that way.
Who did?
The white rabbit.
He did?
He did what?
When that...
Who did?
The white rabbit.
What rabbit?
But didn't you just say, I